Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Right now, it's in a combat zone and has been for weeks. But pressing on the matter are events of these last days, including reports. There's no transparency here. Reports that of the four power lines coming into the plant, and you will all recall power is critical, because without it, the coolant does not flow and the core can overheat. Look at Fukushima, when the power went out at Fukushima more than a decade ago. So right now, the report was three of the four power lines coming into the plant were cut. The fourth is now reestablished, although there was a report over the last days that there was a moment when it wasn't working and they went to backup generator run by diesel fuel of unknown quantity. What I'm describing is something never planned, a combat zone with Russian soldiers occupying the campus of the complex, with shelling reported routinely, and with the UN pleading with both sides to allow the inspectors to see the stability of the plant. Also, both sides blaming the other for shelling and conflict. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director and publisher of Nation magazine, as well as a columnist in the Washington Post. And within these last weeks, Katrina published a column saying, is this a new Cold War? It is not a new Cold War. Well, is it a new Cold War? Katrina, we did not have in the original Cold War a nuclear power plant in a combat zone. We had Chernobyl, we had Three Mile Island, but not in a combat zone. How do you measure the risk right now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I don't know how those who've talked about the call at 3:30 a.m. and the national security dangers of such a moment can sleep at this point, because we are looking at a war zone, hot combat zone, Ukraine, Russia, with a plant, as you know, a nuclear power plant in the center of this. The one concern I have is that in the fog of war, there's a volley of accusations from the two sides. And what's important, if you can stomach the idea of cooling off, because that has to happen at the nuclear plant as well, but cooling off to allow the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and the UN to monitor. Now, it is the case that Ukraine says Russia won't permit. Russia says Ukraine at fault. But what's at fault here is the possibility of loss of external power, more loss combined with human error leading to a disaster. Such errors can be disastrous, as we've seen, and not even in combat zones, as you noted, John, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl. Accidents that started without any external trigger, and the last two can occur at any nuclear power plant anywhere in the world, even in the absence of war and military attacks. But we are looking at war and military attacks. There has to be some negotiating stance that would allow security, not only for this plant, but for millions of people who would be in the downwind of radiation. But there's a manic quality now to this war where you can't, it seems to me, I don't know how you do it, John. I read as widely as I can Johnson's Russia List, diverse set of articles. But you do need to use non-confirmation bias. And I think there's a lot of proxy hostility ginning up this very, very dangerous situation.
What I'm measuring, Katrina, is that when wars start, there is no logic to them continuing, but bad things happen along the way, and this is one of them.
It is harder to stop war. You're absolutely right, John. After the first months, things take a pace and a space. It is the case, however, that on Independence Day this last week, President Biden, if you read the speech carefully, he's very cautious in identifying, yes, new weapons, but cautious in the question of American alliance with Ukraine. It's more about national security, and it's more about trying to find a way to end a war that his team at various times, Biden's team, has spoken about overturning Russia. But in this case, Biden was very careful about security for Ukraine. There's also the fact, as you know, John, the sanctions on Russia appear to be backfiring as we enter into the winter months. Europe is increasingly on the surface, probably even more so if you drill down, divided. Inflation concerns, energy concerns. I think you're seeing in Germany, again, this reminds me of the old and new Europe. In old Europe, certainly, Germany, the prime minister the other day, very careful to note that we may, you know, really need to reopen negotiations, not clear with who. And the fact that the new weapons coming, the $2.98 billion, are not from existing stock, for example, in the United States, but will need to come from the defense contractors making the military-industrial complex happier than Zelensky. But that's been par for the course. The danger there, John, and we're not talking nuclear, God help us, tactical nuclear weapons, but we're talking sourcing of weapons may take much longer. And if it moves to long range, very dangerous. In addition, you mentioned, John, the mobilization of Russian troops.
Yes.
It's, you know, I think it's certainly, when we talked last week about the assassination of Dugina, the daughter of a nationalist philosopher in outside of Moscow, everyone understood that might escalate the situation. And, you know, everyone's been waiting for Putin to issue a draft mobilization. This seems different. If we spoke about it earlier, it's an executive action, a kind of presidential action. But both sides, and I'll stop here, are short of men, of troops. I mean, Ukraine still has a law, I believe, about, you know, 60-year-old men serving, not leaving the country without combat. So it's a war of attrition. It's a war of attrition with a nuclear reactor sitting in the heart of it in a very, very dangerous hot war situation.
And there are hundreds of millions of people in Europe who do not have the energy to get through the winter or to pay for it. Hundreds of millions.
And in the UK, it's a disaster right now. Yes. They're looking at inflation, possibly 80% increase in energy security prices. So I think you could see some real backtracking in the winter, because it is the case that with the oil and natural gas, and you have a political season in this country for sure, coming November 22, in 2000, you know, a few months. So the quest of the of Janet Yellen to put a cap on Russian oil prices, she's traveled the world, as has her deputy. It's not clear that that has worked out at all. It turns out right now, as I read this morning, India is the largest energy purchaser from Russia, and it's driving countries to Russia. I mean, you had to look at the UN vote last week, which was, I believe, just a general denunciation of Ukraine and Russia's conduct of the war. I believe months ago you had 114 countries protesting Russia's actions. Last week, 51.
So
that's a measure of a country, a world, looking at the situation.
All right, Katrina, with the 30 seconds we have left, what I sense week to week is an escalation of this conflict with no end in sight. Do you see the same thing?
I'm not sure I see escalation, John. What I see is a long slog attrition war that with spikes of escalation, but that it's continuing to be a grave blight,
right,
a danger. And I think important to remember how one exits with diplomacy, security for Ukraine, and resolve to fix on that at this dangerous time.
Katrina Vandenhoevel for the editorial direction of The Nation, as well as the publisher writing at The Washington Post most recently about Is This a New Cold War? I'm John Patch.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.